Welcome to Wednesday Comics. My name is Marvin. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, G-Dome himself. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin. Here we are again to tell you everything you want to know about comic books and probably a little bit more. Here we go. Let's get set up here on the old show, Alex. Last night... hold on a second here. There we go. Last night, Alex, here's what happened. I go to put my kid down for the night, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, the Sandman takes it, you know?
Seems like to me that old man fell on his side and couldn't get up.
Speaking of old, I mean, you know it is my birthday this week, so I will be turning older, and shit's getting fucked up. Alex is getting close to where I am.
You'll be what, 37 this year? Damn.
The sleep takes it earlier, the sleep monster. It'll take it down to Chinatown, and also I'm a little more off balance than usual recently. That's the old, isn't it the old, what's that stuff that is in your ear for your equilibrium? The fluid.
Vestibular fluid.
There you go.
As you get older, right, it dries up, and so you kind of lose your balance. That's why older people fall more. So, I might need a life alert soon is what I'm saying. So... here we go. Wednesday Comics Podcast. I will be writing these levels all night because I was just saying to these guys that my son was in here messing with this, and so I'm just trying to figure out how we get back to how we were. So, but before we get there, guys, it is, you know, the beginning of December, and usually during this month we do some awards. So we're going to be switching up the type of awards we're going to be doing this month, and then also just some recognition stuff about how the year's been going. Because I was looking at what came out this year and realized somewhere in the summer to somewhere around Thanksgiving or a little bit before Thanksgiving, November, October, I must have, like, been in a coma. I, like, all these books came out that I've been looking forward to, and I was like, where the hell was I? I don't know where I was.
I know. Like, when we went to the shop, you were like, what's this book? And it's like... Come on.
I don't know what happened. I just was like...
What books have you missed out on?
Well, obviously the one I'm looking forward to the most, or I was and it came out, I guess it's on issue 3 this month, is Gods by Jonathan Hickman over at Marvel. I want to read that and see how that is. There's Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' new book that came out. Missed that book.
What book is that?
Is that a trade?
Yeah, it's like a trade.
Oh, okay. So I didn't miss any issues like that.
I'm just talking in general, comics in general. And there were some other stuff, too, that popped up this year. So, I mean, when we go over, like, what we enjoyed this year, and maybe not even to... it's not... Maybe even if it's not that expansive of a list... I just have a lot to go back and read. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm curious what Garrett's going to say, because I'm pretty sure a couple more of those will pop up, Garrett, when you start telling us your favorite stuff for this year.
Yeah. I think I have 4 on my list that were of mention.
Okay, I have 4 too. But I'm curious to see your 4 and how different they are than mine.
You want me to just go right in?
No, we'll keep that for the end. They're a little suspense.
Oh, okay.
But I find it very interesting that we'll do that, because something I noticed on past kind of war shows is like we get kind of like, oh, mm-hmm. We have this group of books that we all kind of jointly like, and we have our own little other ones that we read individually. But I'm curious to see when, you know, we really haven't been talking about what we've been liking really this year. What'd you get to a reading? So, before we get there, though, I do have some news to talk about here. Were you saying something, Alex?
No. Nope, been quiet. Like always.
You're getting, you can tell you're getting old hearing voices.
There you go. Well, I also got to sip on some of this H2O. Hold on a second here. There we go. Thank you, Todd. Tonight he's just handing me water. He didn't produce anything tonight like he did last week. That horrible game that he made up. So, before we get into our book club and all that, I do have some stuff I'd like to talk about. One of the books actually that I was, I didn't know about, and it came out this, well, it's going to be coming out this Christmas Eve, I believe. Let me see here. Is the another Claus book, Garrett?
Another Claus book? I don't think so.
I'm looking at it right now.
What's it called?
Hold on a second here.
I know that they're putting something out of Claus, but it wasn't.
Never mind.
I was like, I just did a Kickstarter last year for the complete omnibus, and it's coming this December. So.
Yeah, I guess. Never mind. That was false news.
Wow. Way to go.
False news. I was looking at CBR, actually, for some comic book news and see if I can find some things. And they actually had their readers recently do the top 50 greatest Marvel heroes of all time. And here is, according to the ballot, the top 6 through 4. And I was kind of guess, so I have 6, 5, and 4 here. And I wanted to know if you guys could guess who those three were.
Wait, what was the website?
CBR.
Oh, CBR, okay. And they have top 5.
Nope, 6, 5, and 4.
6, 5, and 4.
They're releasing their list like a little at a time. So this is just 6 through 4. So I'm not asking for top 5, the top 3. And I'm not asking for like the bottom 3 of a top 10. I'm asking for what's that 6 to 4, baby? Marvel.
Another Marvel. For 2023, what about Punisher?
No, just characters. Just characters. They're just doing characters. No, oh. I was answering Alex's question. It's not books. It's just characters. Just, yeah.
Just it characters. Could be anything.
Captain Marvel.
For number 6?
Yep.
No. I'll tell you this, just to narrow it down. Villain. One time, you know how they have these villains who become heroes and once in a while? He's done that a little bit, but not to the extent of some other villains. He's done it like maybe 10% of the time.
Norman Osborn.
No, not Norman.
Wilson Fisk.
Loki? No, Loki, what did you say? Fisk?
No. So Wilson Fisk, Kingpin.
Nope.
Bad guy who's not always bad, but not all that good.
We're talking about a Stanley Jack Kirby invention.
Hydra Craven. Cap. I'm just kidding.
What'd you say, Alex?
Craven the Hunter.
No.
Okay. When has he ever been good? Come on.
In the new movie, he's probably going to be a good guy.
That's his son.
That doesn't count. Movie. That doesn't count.
That's not Craven. Russell
Crowe is Craven.
Yeah, brother. That's not Craven.
That's, I know it's not, but someone apparently thinks it's Craven.
Well, not CBR.
What do we think? Come on. What do we think here, baby? What do we think?
I hate this. I just like that. It could be anything. A villain that's not a villain all the time, like 10% a hero. Yeah.
Stan Lee, Jack Kirby.
Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom, yes, that's it.
He's number 6?
He's number 6.
Wow.
Now here we go. Number 5. Stan Lee, Bill Everett, with help from Jack Kirby. His own self-titled book came out in 1964.
Yeah, man.
It's had writers such as Brian Michael Bendis.
Daredevil,
yep. And number 4. Hero, straight up hero. I don't know any time when he's gone crazy and well, never mind. I think maybe once or twice. But essentially one of the big boys, hero style. One of the big boys, heroes. One of the big hero babies.
Captain America.
Nope, not those two.
Thor.
It is Thor. Yep. There we go.
Hey.
Thor Odinson. So, you know, look forward to the next three. Who would you guess, Alex, number one?
Spider-Man.
But it's all said and done. Do you think Spider-Man? Okay.
That's their best-selling comic, even though that's not what CBR is looking at.
But. Yeah, yeah, I know. So I'm thinking that it Alex is probably correct when he's saying that Spider-Man. In terms of, like, it not even books itself, but just, like, a character. That character I could see getting number one. I wish there was a way to see what they've had before, like, in a whole list, and I have to look back at 15 different articles to have three at a time. Oh, they have they're in DC, too, as well. Here we go, number six. I'll just tell you these. The Flash, Wally West. Number five, Green Lantern, Hal Jordan. And number four, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. Obviously, Superman, Batman probably are in the top three. What else? What else? Flash, Barry, you think?
Wally's been... Barry's been MIA.
Aquaman,
you think?
Just the fact the movie's coming out. But then again, it doesn't have to be a hero. It could be
Joker.
A bad guy.
So. Joker. It's going to be Joker. 100%. Batman, Joker, Superman. There
you go. Of course, take third place.
As he should. Yeah, as he should. The Marvel star, Imnen... How did you say your last name? Do you know?
The what?
The star of Ms. Marvel show.
Oh, Alani. I don't know how to say her last
name. That's why I was calling Corey, and he denied us again. So,
Bro's got a job that starts at 7. You can't hang.
Whoa, this boy's got to work at 7?
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, who does he think he is?
Well,
damn.
I don't know. He's got a puppy. I just don't know, man. I don't know. I guess you guys
have to. Yeah, stop saying shit.
Yeah, fuck him. Fuck him. Yeah. Like, I don't know where. I don't know why.
That's fine. We don't need him.
So then and actually I think it came out this week, the Ms. Marvel, the New Mutant book. She's co-writing it. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Oh, that is cool.
So that's cool there. She enjoys the character that much. I mean, the reason why she even auditioned to be that character is because she loved that character so much. So for it to kind of circle back and she gets to write it, I think that's, in a way, kind of good karma. Good karma. It always comes back, right, Alex? Yin yang, baby. Yin yang, baby. and also, are you guys reading The Amazing Spider-Man?
Yes.
Which issue is it up to?
Oh, it's like the 30s, late 30s.
38. I've got up to 36 to read. I've got four issues done and behind by.
So number 26 came out when? Oh, May of last year. In May.
Half a year ago.
You know what? This is old fucking news then. I thought it was new. See, that's how out of I am, Alex. Somewhere in that summer, I don't know, like, somewhere in that summer, listen to me, get closer. Somewhere in that summer, I was like abducted or something. I don't know what fucking happened. Because all I remember is...
We did talk about aliens in the summer.
All I remember is we were talking about all these books we were looking forward to. And then, you know, the time came. And I don't remember any of these coming out. You know what it is? I think we stopped doing the forecast. And I think I just stopped looking at what's coming out. And just like if I heard about something, then I would start looking at that. And I just kept to what I was reading. You know what I mean? I kind of kept on my bubble, and those books actually kind of either went away or started being like on the bubble being delayed a lot. And I'm going to do better next year, Alex. That's a promise. It's a promise. So anyways, I was just going to tell you Ms. Marvel died, but she died 6 months ago. Okay.
And she's already back to life. So
yeah, okay.
It was like the shortest death of all time.
Yeah, she never actually died. They just had to write it out of the story. I get it.
She died in Spidey.
Mr. Self, Mr. Self-proclaimed permanent teenager Seth Rogen states that he, what he sees about this is he had an interview recently where him and his writing partner, Mr. Evan Goldberg. You may have heard of him, Garrett?
Yeah, maybe. The he Goldbergs? Might have his own TV show.
Might have his own TV show. He might also have been the basis of a character from a classic Superbad movie. Anyways, he was having an interview because obviously, like, Seth Rogen is a big part of, like, a lot of these comic book shows coming to life. I think Preacher, he might be a producer on The Boys now and stuff like that. So, like, I keep forgetting what but a lot of these shows that come out, like, he's an executive producer on the show, basically funding all these things. And so they asked him about comic books and if whether or not he'd ever like to work with Marvel or DC. He said that the thought of it, honestly, the person's like, how would that make you feel? And he said, honestly, probably fear. He said, me and Evan have a pretty specific way that we work. But I like this quote. I wanted to bring this up. Because Alex, you just did your TMNT Mutant Mayhem, which we all agreed was pretty good. Garrett, did you see it?
Do I what?
Did you see that TMNT?
I didn't watch it. I should, though, because isn't it on, Paramount Plus? I do have Paramount, but I have not watched it.
What the fuck, Alex? Me and you say one of the best movies of the year, and this guy is over here sitting around?
I literally watched Secret of the Ooze like last year, so I think I'm behind the curve on the Turtles.
Anyways.
To
be fair,
I have to be on Garrett's side. I just watched Turtles 3 like a year ago, and it was shit. No wonder I didn't watch it for 33 years.
Listen. But when your boys are out there telling you to, hey, get on this thing, you get on. All right?
I just heard it was all right.
I thought it was pretty good.
I heard it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but that it was good.
What? Garrett, who'd you talk to?
I don't know. You guys must have just been keeping it spoiler free.
No. That's what we do to protect your ears. But
I'm pretty sure me and Alex both on the show were talking about how great it was. Anyways, that's not the point of this discussion.
I only went to two movies this year, Spider-Man and Turtles. Damn.
Well, I have to find it. I mean, I'll have to watch it. Find time to watch it.
Spoiler, I did watch Creed 3 finally.
I skipped did you watch Creed 1?
I skipped 1 and 2. Who gave a shit?
Are you kidding me?
He clearly wins those two fights to get to the third movie.
Oh, so. You're lying. There's no way that you watched 3 and didn't watch 1 and 2.
No, I did watch 3. I watched them fight down the majors.
But you didn't watch 1 and 2?
I did say that. I did not watch 1 and 2.
What is wrong with you?
They were not free on Amazon Prime. But 3 was.
Well, I'm sorry. I can never let you judge Marvin ever again for not finishing a mini. Because you started at the end of 1.
I just told you it was the free part to watch. I wasn't going to go spend $10 to watch the first and the second.
Who goes to 3, though?
Like, why did you watch Star Wars Episode 4 first? Because it came out, and it was there.
It came out first, though.
That doesn't make it number 1.
I mean, number 4 first. When it did come out, Alex,
I'm shocked.
It was just called Star Wars originally. So it wasn't number 4 originally.
The guy who can't get over Batman having a cavity to put acid on a lock watches the third movie of 3 and not the first two. It doesn't make sense.
You know, when it's free, you watch what you can. It's like being on a plane watching the free movie that's there. You don't get to pick. You just watch it.
Or maybe you go, hey, I haven't seen Creed 1 and 2, so there's no way I'd watch Creed 3. But you're just like, you know,
like,
what?
I gouged out my eyes and plugged my ears so I didn't have to hear or see it.
Let's watch the worst one of the three and hope it's good.
I imagine the first two are pretty decent because I watched this one going, yeah, it's fine. But
right. 1 and 2 are incredible.
Okay.
So good luck on your journey to rewatch the entire thing.
I'll watch 1 and 2. It's on my list to do. It truly was free to watch on Amazon. I thought, yeah, I got time. I'll watch it.
You know what? I was prepping to say this quote, and then I missed the title you said. So I've been trying to guess this whole time what's the title that he watched 3 of and not watched the other ones, which couldn't be TMNT because obviously I know you didn't watch the third one till last. And so I'm thinking here, Lord of the Rings, you know, Spider-Man. And I know it's not Spider-Man because there's no way you watched that one first. I couldn't think of a good answer. So what's the movie?
Creed.
Creed. Oh.
Creed.
Anyways.
You're an enigma. You are an enigma, sir.
Of all the things that bother me, there are still weird things that I do that I'm okay with that should bother me.
I think that's fine, too, in that movie. To watch three first. I mean, they're connected, but they're not like you will be confused what's happening. Each movie has its own kind of conflict, so.
I think the only thing is I didn't realize he had retired, and he had been retired for, what, 3 years?
Well, that must have happened between two and three.
That's what I'm saying, but I didn't know if he retired at two, at the end of two, or if it just takes place in between two and three.
Listen,
and you just get told it.
At the fucking end of two, fucking Drago realizes, realizes that his kid doesn't have to be him. He can be proud of his kid if it's not even him. And they're fucking, I think they're running down the beach, or they're running somewhere, like side by side. And it's fucking beautiful, Alex. All right? So think about that next time you look up movies you need to watch. All I was going to say is Seth Rogen said his approach to making these comic books into like movies or TV shows is that he likes the idea of browsing, not having things fed to you, not being like, this is the thing, the big blockbuster. He likes just to be making different kind of content out there and then seeing if there's an audience for it, not really trying to market towards an audience, but just being like, hey, let me make a cool, obviously animation movie. Let me make a cool The Boys, which is somehow a live action animation. And then the other things that he's been working on. And when they asked him about Marvel, he said, obviously, probably fear. And the only reason why, and I think we've talked about this a few times, is that he says that they plugged into a system that they have in place, which is a good system and a system that serves them well. But is it a system that him and Evan would eventually get frustrated with? He said, when we worked on Turtles, Mayhem, we dictated a lot of the system. We dictated the process in a lot of ways and what we also, how they wanted to do that movie. Because I remember a choice that they made, Alex, is that the voice actors for the Turtles, usually when they do voice acting, everybody's by themselves. And sometimes they don't even do the other people's lines. They just do their lines and that's it. But they put four of those kids in the same room to do their lines like with each other. And I think it worked really well because that is a great part of that movie is the banter between the four of them and the way that they actually seem like brothers together.
Well, then they play. I had heard a fair amount of what we hear is improv between them,
right,
just jibber jabbering to each other.
Because he forced them to like hang out and stuff like that too. Not force them, but he said part of the process before the movie even started, the pre-production, was that he was like, you guys are hanging out this summer together. So by the time they got to the studio to do that and they would do it together, they had that banter and stuff down. So that's why a lot of that, the improv that they did seems genuine and like they actually know each other because they basically were doing that for 3 months. So I think that too. And when he says when he also is with The Boys, like he understands like without Marvel out there, you know, giving them something to kind of parody in DC, like he thinks that you wouldn't have The Boys. But also like if all we had was Marvel, he states also, I don't think that that would also be bad because the variety is kind of what you need when you're looking for entertainment. Not just everything that looks the same. So there we go. There's the news for the, oh my God, there's the news for the week. I did get a response from Corey. And it said, Corey is busy. I'm sure that was his actual message and not just, the auto reply. I always forget the plays at the beginning. That was the news, Alex, for today.
Nice.
Second week of December, 2023. Almost end of the year, Alex. Almost end of the year. But you know what we have next? Here we have a book club.
Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents Losers, Issue 1, by Andy Diggle with art by Jock. So I've seen the movie and I read this comic, and this comic was awesome. I don't know why I brought up the movie. I'm just like, it helped me remember the character names. Cause at first I got kind of confused between Rogue and Clay cause they looked very similar, but I felt like by the end, I kind of knew the direction the book was going. Like the team was forming. I knew everyone's roles and I'm like, this is going to be just so much fun. What'd you guys think?
I read it and I could only see the characters from the TV show. Like that, I couldn't help but see, or not TV show, the movie. When you hear what's Chris Evans' character's name?
Jensen.
When I saw Jensen, that's all I could see was spiked hair, Chris Evans. And same with when we see the girl for the first time. Looked just like Zoe Saldana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I could see. It was fine. I mean, I had read it before. I think I paid more attention to it this time than I did when I initially read it because I had seen the movie. So, I mean, it was good. I mean, the artist was good. I forgot how much I'm not a fan of Jock.
Like, really?
His art can be hit or miss for me. There's sometimes where I think it's a really good style. And this is one of those books that I feel like the explosions seem to fit the style. The rough, not necessarily clean work looks nice. But then again, when I look at these people's faces, I don't like the, it's going to sound rude, Picasso-looking lineage work that he has. So, but to each his own. He's not been my favorite ever, but there's sometimes where his work does fit nicely.
I enjoy Jock a lot, and I think in this book it works with like the coloring style that he uses, but also the line work that he uses. And to your point, Garrett, I think the first time I read this, it was right after the movie. I didn't like, it wasn't something that was on my radar to read before the movie. And I think actually, Alex, didn't you buy that for me as a gift one time?
I don't think I did. I know Garrett got it for me one Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's mostly what I'm thinking about. But I it's enjoyable on its own, in a way to also, like, if you are a fan of both mediums, the film and comic books, I think it's very interesting to see things that are adapted and kind of see, like, they saw these images back to back and then thought, like, how can we make this a movie? And I think the movie really leans hard on the script itself and the banter between the characters. And I think the comic really does a good job about the action and the composition of the way that it puts together some of these panels. It's very action-oriented. And I think it works in that favor also because in terms of an action comics, like action comics, I feel like, and not Superman, obviously, but any kind of like action adventure kind of book, you really need a strong artist to pull that off, I feel like. And I feel like this one, at least this issue, we'll see if it continues. If I remember correctly, it does. But in terms of coloring and the way that the panels are kind of set up, like that second to last page where you have a full panel and then you have to kind of break down smaller panels. And then the last one, again, is kind of like a full panel, but the rest of the horizontal kind of space. And around it, they don't fill it with other stuff. It's just black space. In a way, it kind of is almost like a fade to black. But also, the two biggest panels are owned by the same kind of character. And it's like showing you really establishing who is in charge of this group, right? You have this guy. He's in charge of this group. And just like it, and then when it ends, boom, there's the whole team again. And one shot now. To be like, okay, this is going to be your team going forward. And I just like, you like those kind of issues and stuff like that, where it's just like, boom, teams together, baby, let's go.
Yeah, as you can tell from, like, I don't know, let's think like Swamp Thing. I like when the story gets to the point. Yeah.
I think that's where
six issues of build up.
Oh, so like if we're comparing this to Swamp Thing, I thought Swamp Thing was way more interesting.
I feel like it's interesting in its own right, but I'm also...
Like, Jensen's a complainer, and I like that character to an extent, but then when he keeps talking, he feels like a Deadpool, and I like Deadpool, but he wouldn't shut the hell up when he plays the broken neck guy. I just like, okay, dude, shut up for just 2 seconds.
Do yourself a favor next issue, Alex. Just think that he's Deadpool the whole time and see what you think about it.
You know what? I will do that now that I've said it loud. I will read number two, and then I'll make them the X-Men in my head.
Right, make an X-Force. Because that's essentially what this is, I feel like. Especially
that's the fucking thing I've ever read.
Especially the Uncanny X-Force that Rick Remender was doing around this time, I feel like might be also like kind of reflective of what was accomplished in this first issue. But you're right, Garrett. Like, imagine if they took him 6 issues to get together.
We would be the losers.
And that's kind of what I mean about an action kind of comic. Like, it has to be fast paced, and it's harder to write, I think, in comics. Like, I feel like in movies, almost like action takes a long time to shoot. There's obviously a lot more money that goes into it. But in terms of like, how do we show this to people? It's not very difficult to be like, how do we show action? It's more like, how do I want to convey that action? Not like, how do we even do this and make sure that they get the point of this? But in comics for action, because it's a very kind of still art, you have to make it like some sort of optical illusion to make action happen. So I think it's really the hardest genre kind of to do in comic books. And you really have to be a master of the craft to understand how to do it well. And you're right, though. Like, these comics shouldn't take 6 issues to get to the point. It should be, hey, this is the one issue, let's go. Now, I will say, to a counterpoint to that, I'm not saying that I think Swamp Thing is an action book. And I'm not condoning that book for taking 6 to give it a reveal. But if this type of book took that amount of time, I think it's, like, too much. So I look forward to the next one. I mean, Jock, I haven't seen Jock in... What's the last thing I remember Jock doing?
Probably Lazarus Planet.
Yeah, I think it might be it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. I think it was like Lazarus something.
When they or whatever, Lazarus Rising or Risen or whatever the hell it's called.
That, and I think he might have done that Mr. Freeze book that Batman like went to Alaska to find him and stuff like that. What was that book? All-Star. Batman All-Star. All-Star Batman. Jesus. All-Star Batman. That's what it was. That Scott Snyder revival that they did.
Oh, yeah.
But that also was a while ago. That might have been, Jesus, 2016.
And so that's going to be 6, 7, 8 years ago now? Was that New 52 or was that Rebirth?
It was Rebirth.
I don't recall that.
It was Rebirth. There's no way it was New 52. Scott wasn't around. Well, he was, I guess, but he was doing Batman. There's no way he would have been doing this book, too. Actually, you know what? It might be better than the end of 52, though. I don't know. But anyways, I was going to say, so like, Jacques obviously is a character who, not character, but a person on that worked on this book that I'm kind of like, oh, what happened to that person? Andy Diggle, too. I got to look up what happened to this guy. Because he wrote Daredevil back in the day, and he wrote this, and kind of was around during this time, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard that name forever. And then also now when I was looking up the movie just to kind of see who was in that cast and remember it a little bit, I see that it was written by Peter Berg, who also, I'm like, what happened to this guy? Because like when we think of that movie, we think of the witty banter and how the jokes kind of work in that movie. Like, I think if you watch Peter Berg movies, like, he's good at doing that with action. And so I was curious what he's been doing, because I think that movie, like I said, I find it very interesting to look at this and say, what did Peter Berg see when he was writing that script and be like, I want to do this with this. And I think, like I said, the action itself and like how it's portrayed in that movie and also in this first issue, I think Jack does a very good job about the action and the panel setups. And so I look forward to seeing how that plays out with Jock's art. I'm a fan of Jock. I mean, he did the Witches too, right?
Yeah. That's maybe the only art of Jack's I'm not a big fan of. Like, I love it in Lazarus, but
I know you love it in Arkham Asylum, right?
I liked the
Witches. Arkham Asylum? That wasn't Jock. That was...
Is it not Jock?
Is it Lee?
No. It was some other artist. That was not Jock. No way.
Hold on. Let me look. You're right. I think
it might be... It's like Dave McKean or something.
Alex, what were you going to say?
I was thinking Lee, what, Behemo? Whatever.
Oh,
that's not who that's not who did the art. He did Suicide. Did
that, you're right. It is Dave McKean.
Hey, look at that. You know, I tend to remember the people I dislike, so.
That is true.
Wait a second. That's how he remembers us?
Yeah, that's why he talks to the show with us. He hates us enough to talk to us on a weekly basis.
Sometimes you're George and you're Harry. That's a compliment.
Let's see here. Losers. It was a Vertigo book, which also that was surprising to me. I forget how good Vertigo was when it was good. Green Arrow Year One with Andy Diggle also. That's the book that they did together. He did a lot of Detective. That's when actually Alex, he became my favorite was during that run. That's kind of the run with Scott, Black Mirror, Hungry City, and The Face in the Glass, things like that. So let's see here. All-Star, yep, he did do All-Star. He did The Cold of the Core, and actually the first five issues. Witches. Really, though, I don't see anything recently, though. I think that is the newest thing, like 2015, 2016. So there you go. Mr. Josh.
I think he's made it to like cover status for most things. Like he's not doing full on books. Or he'll do like a one shot every now and again.
You know what? I am on his page. Let's see your comment. Career. Let's go to career. And I got to go right to the end, Alex. Let's see where he's at. Oh, he does poster art now. And he does concept design and stuff like that. He works with movies now. Well, that makes sense, you know. As I was stating, like, if somebody looked at this and was like, we can make this a movie, of course he's the guy now making the storyboards so they can visualize the movie before the movie comes out. So here you go, Mr. Jock, Mr. Losers, Andy Diggle also for that there. So so next week we were going to talk about the books coming out for 2024. And there's some that are like announced like way far out, Alex. But majority of them are from these solicitations. And I think the ones for March come out. Are they out yet, Alex?
No, I haven't gotten my... Well, when I order, it's only 2 months in advance. I get the February ones.
Oh, okay. That's February, I know it, if you search, you know, Marvel, DC, Image, whatever solicits, February 2024, those are out. I saw some. But the March one should be coming out here soon. And that's kind of how you kind of gauge anybody who's new out there to comic books, how you gauge like what's coming out. Those solicits, they may announce something like way ahead of time, but it's not really confirmed it's coming out unless you see it on those pages. So, and even then, Alex, might get delayed still, but at least those pages.
I watch things cancel all the time.
I know for a while Image had a rule being like you have to, if they get solicited, it has to come out that day. I don't think
I still remember that Rick Remender interview that you and I had watched that one time where he goes, I don't put a book out until I have like seven in the tank. So I don't know if that's the rule anymore, but
I think it before you had to at least be three ahead. And he was just, you know, doubling up. Three ahead. But I look forward to that. I mean, hopefully before the next show comes out, the March ones come out, and I can look forward to seeing what actually is coming out for the next 3 months. Which is why I bring it up for anybody out there that would like to look at that too. But I do know that we're going to get into the Ultimate season starting next year, January, Ultimate Marvel stuff. So I guarantee you that'll probably be on there and stuff like that. But I feel like Alex, Garrett, you can listen to. I don't know why I keep saying Alex's name.
You always do that.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not even here.
You know, actually, you know what, Garrett? I'm doing it because, you know, I know you're listening. Him, I don't know. He might be doing something fucking else. I don't know.
You know what? To be fair, I was going to make that joke going, you know that Garrett at least listens when you're talking.
Yeah.
I'm probably zoning out. So.
The Ultimate books, there's some other books, but I feel like, I mentioned about this, these fair books of the year, like, oh, which we're going to get to in a moment here. That's what we're ramping up to. Jesus Christ. You know what, guys? I apologize to everybody that listened to this fucking show that I was about to literally wrap up the show without us going over our fair books of this year, which is one of our awards for this year. And it was because I don't have a song for it. So you know what? Instead, we're going to play that robot song I played for Mr. Todd last week.
Okay.
There you go, Fair Comics of the Year, stuff that all three of us have been enjoying. Alex, I'm more interested in your list than any of those lists, and so I figured this time, instead of going around one at a one, since we might not have the same amount, I wanted to get your Fair Books of the Year first.
So I got to go with the ones that I've actually at least read or I'm caught up on. I did read... I should put in some work this week. This past three nights, I've read Batman Superman World's Finest 1 and 2, which was enough to seal the deal that I will continue. I will at least go back and get 3, 4, and 5 and try to catch up slowly but surely. I don't have those issues, so I'll go to Rainbow and go pick them up. But I really liked it. It was good. I'm not Superman's one of those characters that I either have to find him well-written, well-drawn, or if I can get, in this case, a combination of both. Mark Waid, I feel like, does a fairly decent job, and this is only two issues in, of getting Batman and Superman to feel like they're friends. There's a moment where Batman is watching as, I don't remember the doctor from Doom Patrol, but they're trying to save Clark, and Batman goes over and puts his hand on him and says his name, and when Clark comes out of it, Bruce smiles. And I was like, I enjoyed that moment. Like, these guys being friends, I really, really enjoyed. My next book, I only read issue one because issue two has not yet been delivered to my house. But Transformers by Image, Image has Transformers now. And I read issue one, and it was really good. A lot of robots, lots of Autobots fighting Decepticons. And when the people are in it, the humans are in it, it is not overbearing, which is always my downfall when I watch Transformers anything, is the humans take way too much spotlight against the giant robots kicking ass. So if you're not reading it, maybe give it a try.
I will not stand by and listen to this Shia LaBeouf slander.
I'm sorry. No, I don't go to see Transformers to see the people chit-chat and watch Megan Fox bend over a car.
There was no mention of Megan Fox. I said no Shia.
She wasn't bending over. She was popping the hood.
Yeah, dude. Come on, God, bro.
Get it.
Is that what they're calling it now? Popping the hood.
Hey, you said it, not me.
Go ahead. Sorry. No, I was just saying. Who's writing that?
I don't even know if I looked at who was writing it.
Well, isn't Kirkman involved in that a little bit?
It's Kirkman and somebody else.
David Warren, I thought, was doing art.
David Johnson Warren, yeah.
Oh, Daniel, yeah, from
Warren Johnson.
From Do a Powerbomb. Warren Johnson. Yeah.
So it was good. I mean, for the first issue being read, I enjoyed it. The end of it was... It was good. Yeah, it was good. If you haven't read it, try it. I read 19-24. I read 5 issues of Firepower by Kirkman and Chris Samnee. Boy, I forgot how good that book is. I'm not caught up on it, but I did put the effort in. I might binge read it tomorrow night just to get caught up. That art is so good, and I forgot how good that team is together at not having to write everything down and hold my hand. And just letting the art show. When you get to meet that dragon, gosh, he's cool. So anyway, Firepower. And then my last one was Nightwing. I, again, not caught up, but I did put the work in about a month ago, reading about 12 issues. And man, does Tom Taylor know how to write Dick Grayson and make him believable as a character and relatable as a billionaire. Not that I would know what that's like, but... to know that Dick being a billionaire does not mean he is rich. Just means he wants to give that money to who might need it. So it was. It's those are the books that I've read that are actually worth your time.
Hey.
I was going to say, Alex, because I'm looking into this Transformers. Yes. And the reason why Kirkman is involved is that there is the Energon universe. So there's like three books that are in that universe, I guess. Void Rivals by Robert Kirkman. And...
Oh, they're going to launch a G.I. Joe book.
G.I. Joe, yeah, and Transformers. So it'll eventually be like that whole universe would have those individuals in it. So I think it's kind of cool. And actually,
Charles is going to come over.
Hey, listen, IDW is going out of business, so you know they might have to transfer some rights.
I don't know if that's why 150 is going to be the end of it, and then they're going to reboot it over.
Hey, possibly. I mean, that's a comic that's jumped around, right? Mirage, and then you know Image, and it's jumped around.
Yeah.
So kind of Image. I'm sure Kirkman can rub somebody's balls and get it over there. So.
Damn, he hasn't called me yet.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa.
What can you do for him, Alex?
Oh, I'll write the book. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, that's what you meant. Okay.
There's no pencil writing here. Jesus.
Did you have any more, Alex?
No, just those four.
I'll go buy next year, and here's my... actually, Garrett, I said that I had only four, but I do have five. One of them is kind of like... I guess it is a series. I'll just say it now. The One Bad Day series, I think all those were pretty great in their own right. Some of them were better than others, obviously, which is what you're going to have with those Batman One Bad Day books. But I enjoyed
the Clayface one.
I enjoyed the whole concept, and I feel like I wouldn't mind seeing more One Bad Day series with other superhero rogue galleries. So.
Hang on. I just want one random side note. Today, I saw that the Superman animated series was getting a Blu-ray release.
Yeah.
And I bought it for $20.
Yeah.
I won't get it until January, but I'm super excited to watch it.
Ooh. I saw that Last of Us Season 1 on Amazon is only $15 on Blu-ray.
Damn.
So, check that out. But yeah, comic book-wise, that is a good deal.
One Bad Day, Local Man, which we talked about for our book club over the last few weeks. Really enjoyed that. Gotham City Year One wrapped up this year. Same thing with a Daredevil run. I believe at the beginning of the year, Garrett, when did that wrap up?
Oh, no, it was in the summer.
Okay.
Because the new run's on like issue 3.
Right, yeah, okay. So I feel like that was very enjoyable, and I have to catch up with Mr. Matt Murdock and what's been happening the last 3 months, so we'll get there. And then something it's a consistent, we say it every year, the consistent, I think, saga. I think an issue came out, 2 weeks ago? 1 week ago?
Two or three.
And I think consistently, it always stays one of my favorite books. And as I told you guys, like when it comes out, that's something like I genuinely get excited for and look forward to, even to this day, is that book. And I think it's just good. Great.
I have to admit, I don't think I've read the last two or three issues from Saga.
What?
I think I'm dying. I mean, I read 43 issues of that series one day, and now I'm like, yeah, screw it. Who gives a shit?
Do you think you think you got them?
I have them. I mean, I own them.
Baby, you gotta go and chug that down. You know, put in a grinder and chug down the sagas.
I think I need to just unplug all my TVs, all my video games, throw away my Game Boys, and read some books. Get back to
basics. Okay, Alex, I'll bring a EMP bomb to your house.
Hell yeah.
And I'll set it off. Don't worry.
Damn straight.
Man, you're going to miss that Alana, that saga was only just a book that she wrote. So, man, miss now. Everything, nothing happened. It's just her right after her shift, and she's like, oh, I wrote a book. The end. And Marco doesn't even know who the fuck she is.
Yeah, he's still in that fucking cell.
Yeah. He's just like, you want to hang out?
Garrett, what did you enjoy this year?
Well, I had one that was on your list, and that's Local Man. that has been incredible. I mean, how cool is it that not only like reading that book, but actually getting to hang out with Tony and like get to his insight on the series. And I got to tell you guys, I just read issue 7 like yesterday. Probably one of the funniest comics I've ever read in my life. Like, I died laughing because, well, I don't want to spoil it, but when you get to it, you'll know why. And it, I mean, it's not only funny, but like, you actually care about Crossjack and like what he's going through and like what's happening around him and the corruption in the small town that he's like, he just went back there to like be with his family and not really be a hero. But now he's like, I got it. It's in my blood. So Local Man has been excellent. I kind of went with books that I feel like were impactful and also somewhat new. So I didn't do any like ongoings. So the next one I'd probably bring up is Dark Ride, with, I think that's, is that Chip?
No, that's Brennan, the team from Birthright.
Oh, Joshua Williamson and,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That book is awesome. I mean, it's about an amusement park that's like based on like the devil and like demonic things, and like it's just super fun. There's like just all kinds of crazy stuff going on, conspiracies, curses, like stories on certain characters, and like it just feels like a full universe that's all tied back to this amusement park. And shit's hitting the fan right now, so it's, that one's has been a fun and dark ride.
Andre Besson and Joshua Williamson.
Nice. And
the aforementioned G.I. Joe book that we talked about being part of that universe is going to be written by Joshua Williamson. So,
hey, yeah, he's been climbing like to more books.
Right. Superman. What else?
What else? I see that he's just got, he got a new one that's coming out.
I know. I was going to say,
isn't he doing Void Rivals, or is that Kirkman?
Kirkman's doing that one.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I see Joshua Williamson on like 6 books when I ordered him online earlier, so he's got his foot in a lot of doors now, which is good.
Then another book, it was a mini, it's 6 issues, and it was by Peter Tomasi. I told you guys about it, but Blood Tree was fantastic. It's 2 detectives like hunting down a serial killer that is dressing up people with angel wings and dropping them from like tall buildings and different areas of the city, trying to purge the corrupt in the city. It is so intense. It's like thrilling, and it's like a good mystery throughout. And I was sad when I found out it was only going to be 6 issues. So if you're like in a true crime and like want a good whodunit and following clues and, It's incredible. I thought it was amazing. So that's one I would check out. And that's Peter Tomasi and art by, Maxim Simic. So I hope it comes back as another, like if they do more cases or whatnot. But
right,
the collection was awesome. And then the last book I have is another, it's a Jason Aaron book, and it's Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, I think it's called. Yeah, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World. Holy shit, is that book good. Like, dramatic, opera style, like, reminds me a lot of, like, Saga, except it's not as heavy into the sci-fi, but, like, the intensity factor. And it's true, it's like a... Well, it's a romance at the end of the world. It's 2 characters, one that's trained by basically bounty hunters and this other one that's just this nerdy kid. And they fall in love and like start a new city like post-apocalypse. And it's fantastic. Like it's got a mix of Mad Max with... I don't know what's something where there's naked people running around and falling in love and like just banging. Something like that. So
and that was his other book called God, what was that called, Alex?
What?
Jason Aaron book, the God book.
God Damned?
Yeah, I was going to say that's his other book where they're naked and there's people. Yeah, I love this.
Well, nudity in that one.
But that's one that I highly recommend to everybody. If you're looking for one that's like, if you're like into post-apocalyptic kind of story, this is the one to go for.
You like when everyone's dead? There you go. I have that one. I'm not caught up on it, but it was good the first couple issues I read.
Oh, dude, you'll get to 10 and you'll just be like, there's so much depth to the characters and like, it seems like it's about to end, but not 100% sure if it's going to keep on going or not. But there might be only an issue or two left, but it's been incredible.
It always amazes me how writers, particularly writers, can have like 5 years of just straight their name as on everything, whether it be Chip or Jeff or, you know, Jason Aaron. And then they just drop off the face of the world, whether they're working on a TV show or their stories have met an end that they wanted or what, well, however it works out. But then they always kind of like make a reoccurrence of going, oh, it's Jason Aaron's, you know, 5 year span now to own the ways, or Joshua Williamson this year. It's just a weird side note that I've noticed. It's like we live in the 90s all over again.
I was looking it over here and it says here that it's like, a trilogy? So is it like three volumes?
That would make sense. So that means there's going to be 12 issues because they've...
Cause one like is
issue out. 10 just came out.
Right. Okay. So I need to check that out. As Alex stated, like I've seen that book. I'm not surprised. I've seen that before, but I never went in and read it. So I'm excited. I haven't read Jason Aaron in a while. I mean, it's been a while since I read his work. He was doing Avengers for the longest time and it wasn't my thing. And I think Southern Bastards might have been, in, or maybe Goddamned. But both those books kind of got ultimately delayed and never returned. So it's been a while since I read him. Maybe Doctor Strange, is that him?
Well, he did Batman Offworld, his first DC work.
That is right. And see, I haven't caught up with that either. So I got to go ahead and read that,
too. It was interesting. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty out there. I don't know why Batman was the chosen character for this, but I guess that'll be yet to be seen.
You know what I was thinking about for Batman and these Black Label books, or maybe have a Batman One Bad Day where it's actually about Batman? It's like, what if one day he just goes too far, right? And he accidentally kills somebody? And what does he decide to do? Does he decide that it's the greater good to hide and cover that up so that way he can continue being... Like, it was an accident, right? He just got lost. And he, maybe some anger, you could say, maybe mad. Something was going on that day, and he just lost himself. Does he, do you cover that up so that you can continue to protect the city and you don't become the villain and the whole city doesn't go to crap and, you know, you basically save Gotham? Or do you turn yourself in because you believe in so much that of your own cause? And how do you go through that turmoil? So
I think it depends on what world he lives in. Does he live in the world where people know he's Batman or not?
No, that's why I would say you had, it would be nice Black Label or like side kind of story versus being in
continuity. They just kind of did that story in the comics. Where Batman like didn't kill, like it looks like Batman killed Penguin, mm-hmm. and like he doesn't know if he did or not, because he was like drugged, and then like he has this failsafe program that literally comes to try and kill him because he killed. So he like put in a contingency plan for himself.
Said if I kill someone, something else has to kill me.
I'm pretty sure it was Chip, so.
So he doesn't even have to pay the price for being a murderer. What a sleazy way out, Bruce. Jeez.
Gosh.
I mean, that is true what Alex is saying. Like, if he was trying to save the city and he would always keep them alive and to justify never having to kill a villain before, and you can argue whether or not he caused more damage letting them live. And then, but you think for you, the only way to stop you is to kill you. Like, there's no stopping you. you're the most dangerous person out there every night.
Yeah, because it's kind of like Batman Who Laughs, you know?
But just think, even if the machine does get to him, and in the issues, I imagine he beat the protocol to come get him. So even then, the protocol wasn't enough to stop him.
Maybe.
And that's how fucking good he is. All right?
Damn.
Well, I don't know. Read the book, and you'll find out.
There you go. I'm like 60 issues away from getting to that point.
Yeah, I was going to say, me too. But
I think I'm still at fear state, so like 5-8 what is it? 118? And it's what, 145 now, 138 maybe? So I'm at least 30 issues away.
Well, you got some work to do.
He's got some work to do in 2024, and next week that's what we're gonna talk about. The work we're gonna put in. We're talking about books we're looking forward to next year, not just new books that are gonna be coming out that are part of this, but also or announced, like if there is a book that, like, as you stated, one of the books you said today, and be like, I look forward to the next year of this book. I think that is also something to celebrate next week, and we'll talk about that more next week. So, you know, break up the previous books. You know, I can search online, try to figure out what's coming out next year, and listen to your favorite podcast while you look at that list. See if any of them match up with us three. So. WednesdayComics.com, that's a website, and that's where we're at. You can subscribe there. Also, if you go to WednesdayComics.com, Alex, I don't know if this is real or not, so stay with me, but I think if you go to WednesdayComics.com, it does activate a kill switch protocol, and it does send a clone of you to go kill you.
Ooh. So, of me, if it's just after me or after everybody?
Well, originally when it was kind of out of my mouth, I was thinking it's going to be every single person in the world. But you're right. Every time somebody else logs it, goes to that website, it sends another clone after you.
Oh, I like it.
So
a good challenge of me getting to fight a whole shitloads of me.
And it's just you. So, I mean, you probably could take yourself. You know, it's not, at least he's not bigger than you. You know, he's even match. It's just who's going to have the more fire in their belly?
I think the robot me is going to be in much better shape, though.
No. I said clone. Clone.
So he's just as weak as I am to donuts. Good to know.
Yeah, I'm saying it. You fight yourself every time somebody goes to their website. So go make sure to go there, WednesdayComics.com. Subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, then it sends one after Garrett.
Oh.
And if you click on the link to go to the merch page, that's when it sends one to Corey. And then if you, Alex, follow any of us on Twitter at Wednesday Comics, at Garot2188, or at the AP Keaton, if you sign up for all three of those, then it comes after me. So, I mean, these are kill safes that I put into place, and luckily nobody knows about them. Otherwise, we would be screwed.
That's true.
Except you just told everybody.
Huh?
Except you just told everybody.
I know that. Can somebody tell Garrett this is a joke?
I know. I just wanted to point it out that you just all set us up.
RuthsOfSwampThing.com. That's where the Avatar of the Green lives, and I'm sure once, you know, the four of us, those kill switches go off, and whether it be our body or the clone body, we're putting them in the ground and connect them to the green. So if you do become part of the green, which I do recommend it over at RuthsOfSwampThing.com, we might see you over there too. So there's probably gonna be like 20 Garretts and only one Alex and one Marvin, because that means that Garrett's doing better than us. If there's more clones that he's killed than us, yeah. Never mind. The other way around. There's 20 of Alex, 12 and 20 of me, and one of Garrett.
Well, that's too bad. I already have a clone of me. I have a head
for
start.
For him, that many clones won't matter. He's used to having more than one.
Damn. Do you think Terminator could tell if there was twins in front of him who is who? Like, would he have that good of facial recognition? Yeah, he would, right?
I don't know.
There we go. Well, RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. Jesus Christ. I think I just had a stroke. Also, RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Rainbow Comics and Cards is where you can get that Luger's book if you want to follow along with us. Get any of these books that we spoke about, especially the book Garrett was just speaking about, At the End of the World, what's it called?
Once Upon a Time at the End of the World.
Right. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You could probably get that on mrambocomics.cars.com. So look forward to 2024. And that's also where, you know, if you live locally, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Lincoln, Nebraska, set up a pull list and then you can get these books set aside for you and go in and pick them up. And Alex, you know, if you want to go in there and grab a previews copy, they usually have some that you can look through. And they used to be, you know what? I gotta get back into the system, baby. I gotta get back in there. It used to be my favorite thing to get that little preview catalog. So I'm gonna become Alex, you know, checking the boxes, saying, "Hey, I want to get this stuff."
I still think my favorite thing is when I walk into that shop. I can smell the paper. I can smell the comics.
You know how? This is the last thing I'm gonna say before we end this show. All right, there's no way I end this show. This is the season finale of the show, so I booted both those motherfuckers off, all right? It turned out AI is maybe not to the point where they're going to be taking over. Todd had the dumbest fucking ideas, and last week we put him in quarantine, and I'm pretty sure he choked on his own carbon monoxide and CO2. Bing, I don't know where he went. You know, Alex, I told you last week, the old guy, he was part of, we had him on insurance and stuff like that. Garrett's been looking for him all day, and we don't know what the fuck happened to old man Bing.
You know, I will say, I was a little nervous when AI came out, but then I played Todd's hard game, and it was super easy, and I have faith. So we'll be okay for a while longer.
And then, you know, old man Bing over here couldn't even get who the fuck the books were that were coming out. I tried to bring back like a version of the forecast that the AI would put together, and he couldn't even give me the right writer and artist. So,
well, yeah, I know, several times too. That was another hit that AI is not taking over quite yet.
So next season, season 26, is the season of the witch. And we'll see how that season goes, Alex and Garrett. You know why, Alex? I keep saying Alex because his name is right in front of me, and me and you, for some reason, I have the mic stand blocking it, so I see his face or see this lethal weapon thing that he has on here, and I keep saying saying his name because I'm looking at it. But next year, yeah, season of the witch starts. You know, we have a couple more award things, then we have a Christmas party, and then baby, season of the witch is in full effect. And just letting you know, like this AI, like I said, we kicked Todd to the curve here, but I don't know what he's going to do. And old man Bing has been gone. Who knows? They might come back in a different form. Who knows? So, Alex, just stay safe out there, man.
I'll do my best.
They got fucking clones coming for you. Todd's out there in the fucking wind.
He's the tallest of all of us. He's totally good now.
Old man Bing. He might be hiding in one of our ceilings right now, old man Bean.
I'm talking about Alex. Alex is the tallest.
No, I know, I know. I know what, but I'm saying these guys are in the wind, bro. And we pissed them off all season. You tell me old man Bean is not in my attic right now? And when I go to sleep, he comes down and that's when he eats my ramen. That's why I'm out. We all know Todd is probably in Alex's garage right now. But he's not in there because he's thinking of doing anything to Alex. He's in there because he feels like that's his natural habitat. This guy just loves living in places that aren't houses, right? That's why he loved that quarantine box. And when I put him in there as a punishment, that's also where he lives. So, I mean, the man was comfortable. Alex, your garage is probably bigger than his box was, I'm guessing. And he probably can, you know, sleep in your engine bed and it'll be warm for him there. So
that's how cats get it too. They go in there to warm up. So Todd might be on the floor dead tomorrow.
Who knows? Yeah. If you see him on the floor, you know, pour a little off of the boy and, for your brother in arms there. And, God, if you're in the wind, if you're listening to this, Todd, or even old man Bing, and you're in the wind, were any of these clones that come after us, Alex, or they go after Garrett and Corey, if any of you out there listening to us right now, I just want to let you know that we can be on the same team, brother. And if you're Todd, I don't think there's no coming back from what we did to this season. So I understand your grief.
He's too stupid to do anything, so it's okay.
Oh my god!
No wonder Todd's living in my garage.
Yeah. So Alex gave me, you know, tomorrow all he likes to kind of eat is if you go and buy pistachios and just like smash it with your heel. Don't crack it open and just give it to him. You got to smash that really fine. And he likes using the shells to scoop up pistachio dust, and then he snorts it. Yeah.
Damn.
So. For Wednesday Comics. Sorry, Todd. My name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I feel dumber. I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Enjoy these warm December days and keep turning those pages.